Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
One is that she is now the head of the new White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. So thank God that we now have Kamala Harris in charge of gun violence prevention in the White House, which obviously means in this country. And, you know, I first saw this and I was like, oh, great. You know, there's a new office created in the White House that's designed specifically to infringe on our Second Amendment rights. But then I said, hold on, look who's leading the Office of Gun Violence Prevention in the White House. It's Kamala Harris. And if she does exactly the same job that she's done on the border, as she's now been tasked with infringing our gun rights, then we don't have much to worry about for the foreseeable future. I mean, she's the border czar, right? And look what a complete disaster that is. So if Biden has put her in charge of gun control, I don't think there's much to worry about. Now, you would like to think that, listen, I mean, take gun out of it. You know, White House Office of Violence Prevention. Hey, do we have too much violence in this country? Of course we do. Do we have too much violence right here in Indiana, where I'm broadcasting from? Of course we do. Violence prevention in and of itself is not a bad thing. But when Kamala Harris says gun violence prevention, when Joe Biden says gun violence prevention, when the Democrats in Congress say it, what are they talking about? They're not really talking about reducing gun violence. They're talking about infringing your Second Amendment rights and my Second Amendment rights. That's what they're talking about. They like to put it in words that sound like violence prevention, but that's not what they're talking about at all. And this is important for everyone to understand. And next segment, I'm going to play this video. You'll hear the audio from Ryan Petty again, is the father of a victim, a 14-year-old little girl who lost her life in a school shooting. And she had strong words for this. But what Kamala was also there to promote and get her photo ops there in at the scene of a horrible mass shooting, and this is a different shooting scene really than exists anywhere else in the country in terms of a mass shooting or even in particular a school shooting, because they had the criminal trial for the lowlife, and I do not mention mass shooters' names on the Gun Guy Show. I don't, I won't, never will. But the idiot and psychopath who committed that horrific shooting, he went through a criminal trial, and the real issue was he fully responsible? There was no question he did what he did. The question was he fully accountable? Was he fully responsible for his actions? And the question was whether he should get the death penalty or not, because everyone knew he did what he did, and he admitted he did what he did. But his lawyers went down there and argued that, you know, his mother was an alcohol abuser, and he may have had fetal alcohol syndrome, and he had all these disadvantages as a youth. And so the question was whether or not he should get the death penalty. And ultimately, the jury could not decide. The jury hung, meaning they could not reach a unanimous verdict on whether he should get the death penalty, so he ended up getting life in prison. But because the trial judge down there wanted to preserve the ability of the jurors to go actually see the crime scene at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, they essentially sealed the crime scene and left it exactly as it existed immediately after that shooting. I mean, we're talking about, you know, snacks on desks and blood-stained walls. I mean, really a horrific scene. I mean, they left it like it was immediately after the shooting. Blood on the floor, blood on the walls, personal belongings scattered around, shoes left in the hallways as kids were sprinting out of the school or trying to, ran right out of their shoes, left them in the hallways. And that's what Marjorie Stoneman Douglas still looks like today, that high school. And a lot of the parents call it hallowed ground, and I understand why they're saying that. I mean, this is where their loved ones lost their lives. A lot of them are calling for it to be demolished. But that's where Kamala Harris decided to have her photo op, and as part of that, not only did she announce this, and this has actually been around, I think, since November or so, so it's not brand new, this office, White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, but did also announce something that is brand new, just announced last week, which is the National Emergency Protective Order Resource Center, ERPO. And what is an ERPO? It's a red flag order. What's a red flag order? A red flag order is something that seizes guns from someone who's not been convicted of any crime, who's not been adjudicated to be mentally ill, but seizes their guns based on the allegation that they're quote-unquote dangerous. And the ERPOs are essentially red flag laws. And we have, right here in Indiana, we have the second oldest red flag law in the country. We've had ours since 2005. And the national ERPO, or call them red flag laws, the National Red Flag Resource Center, actually is funded by $750 million that Congress authorized through the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. Remember this? This is, a year and a half or so ago. Voted for by our own Todd Young, Republican. But the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which is looking at gun control, did a few things, but one of the things it did is it provided $750 million for exactly this kind of a resource center. And what is its goal? Google it. You can go to the federal website. It could actually be administered by the Bloomberg School and the college is escaping me. I'll remember it here in a second. But is a college long known for espousing gun control, that's funded by Michael Bloomberg, biggest gun control advocate on the planet, is actually administering this thing. But what it is providing resources to help you. If you want to pick up the phone and eradicate someone's Second Amendment rights through one of these red flag orders, this resource center is providing you with all the resources you need to get that done. That's the goal of it. We'll talk more about that, but we'll also talk about how one particular dad of a victim of the shooting in Parkland at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School how he felt, and how he stated on social media how he felt about the Vice President of the United States using the place where his daughter died as a place to make a photo op and come down and make a political statement calling for more gun control. That's what we'll go to when we come back. We'll also take your calls. We'd love to take your calls here on the Gun Guy Show. 317-239-9393. That's 317-239-9393. This is Guy Relford on the Gun Guy Show on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
A show about gun rights, gun safety, and responsible gun ownership. This is The Gun Guy with Guy Relford on 93 WIBC.
And welcome back. I'm Guy Relford on The Gun Guy Show on 93 WIBC. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, Kamala Harris goes to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. She's arguing for more gun control. And she's doing so right there in the building where a lot of innocent children lost their lives. Some administrators, too. One heroic teacher charged the shooter and lost his life. I mean, a lot of heroism, a lot of failure. The school resource officer whose job it was, the armed school resource officer whose job it was to keep those kids safe, hid behind his car outside the building, never went in the building for the whole duration of the shooting. There's a lot of failure, too. But the reason for Kamala's visit, as I mentioned, was to call for gun control. And one particular father wasn't real happy about it.
English classroom. I expressed some frustration today on social media about a visit to Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where my daughter Elena was killed in her English classroom over 6 years ago now. What's frustrating to me is that this building should have been demolished years ago, and it's now being used as a photo op for politicians that want to push an agenda. But politicians that, quite frankly, don't understand what it takes to protect our nation's schools, don't understand the causes of the Parkland tragedy, don't understand what led to the tragedy, and are just there, quite frankly, to push their gun control agenda. I'm tired of it. It needs to stop. The building needs to be demolished, and that I know many of the other families view that ground as sacred ground at this point. And the sooner these photo ops stop, the happier we'll be. The vice president and
there you hear it. And it goes on. If you want to look this up, you can just Google it. Parkland dad, his name's Ryan Petty, expresses frustration with Kamala Harris' visit is a common headline. But you look it up. You listen to the whole 9 minutes is really compelling. It doesn't work well to play the whole thing on radio, but it's really very important what this guy has to say. And listen, he's not just a parent. Ryan Petty sat on the Parkland Commission that heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of testimony on exactly what led to the shooting and how this was allowed to occur. And he's got a lot of thoughts. In fact, he championed some legislation in Florida to help prevent this kind of thing from happening. And guess what? None of it involved gun control. Because what the Parkland Commission actually concluded was this was caused not by any failures of laws, obviously, but it was caused by the fact that authorities ignored the threats from this kid with a whole history, I mean, long history of violence for no older than he was. Long history of threats. The FBI was advised on two separate occasions that this guy had threatened to be a mass shooter. And had posted on social media he wanted to be, I think the quote was, professional school shooter. And the FBI ignored all that. The local authorities had been called to his, I think it was his step-parents or even foster parents home, but had been called dozens of times because of this kid being violent. The school had a policy that if someone was violent in the school, they wouldn't ask for them to be prosecuted. They would specifically prevent the kid from being prosecuted because they felt that had racial overtones to it in terms of a disproportionate amount of minorities were being prosecuted in that circumstance. And so they would shield these kids from any kind of accountability when they were violent, even in the school. And that was the school district there in Parkland who made that decision. Then you had the failings of law enforcement. You had the failings of the school resource officer whose job it was to protect those kids and who cowered outside the building behind a car, listening to people scream, listening to people get shot for several minutes. And the commission report goes on and on and on, and never does it say, wow, if we just had this one additional law in place after this psychopath violated law after law after law. Nowhere did that commission, in that commission conclusion, did they say, wow, if we'd had this one more law, we could have prevented this. No, existing laws needed to be enforced, and people needed to do their jobs. And the school needed better systems and better infrastructure and better security to keep bad guys out. This guy walked through an unlocked door. He walked across the whole campus with a rifle case. People saw him with walkie-talkies in their hand and ignored him, walking across campus, a kid with a history of violence, walking across campus toward the building with a rifle case in his hand. And nobody called for a lockdown. Nobody called law enforcement. He walked in unlocked doors and started killing innocent kids. That's what led to the Parkland shooting. And that's why you hear frustration in Ryan Petty's voice when he's watching a photo op from our vice president saying, well, we need to prevent this from happening by passing gun control laws. He lost his beautiful 14-year-old daughter. Many other parents lost kids in that building. Other people lost family members of teachers and staff. And it's insulting to them. You heard it straight from his lips. And go out there and Google it. Ryan Petty, Parkland, Kamala Harris. It'll come right up. Watch the whole 9-minute video. He's powerful in saying what he's saying, which is these politicians who just want to eradicate Second Amendment rights and are trying to pass their pre-existing political agenda, standing on the bodies of innocent kids like his daughter, is offensive to him, and he says that in exactly those words. And right now we're a little past the three-quarter hour, and people are calling in. I'm going to go to the phone lines to the extent we can. But people ought to listen to this, and people ought to understand, people in the middle of it who understand what it takes to at least limit violence from mass shooters and violence in schools. The people who have studied it and heard the evidence, they're not talking about more laws. They're talking about more secure schools, and they're talking about people doing their jobs and enforcing existing laws. That's what we're talking about. Right now, we're taking a break. This is Guy Relford on The Gun Guy Show on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.